Hey guys and gals, thanks for coming to our show. Here's some things we want you to know. Attention, Meltcasters! Mention Meltcast inside Meltdown Comics, and any variant cover is reduced to $5. Follow through with this exclusive deal today. For those of you looking to join Loot Crate, we have a special promo code for this our very podcast. If you go to lootcrate.com/meltcast, use the promo code meltcast3, and that will get you the promotion that is most current for Loot Crate. Check it out, lootcrate.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Meltcast 3.0. My name is Derek Vandermillen, and joining me, as always, is Mr.
Aristotle Acevedo.
Vedo.
Avocado.
Aristacos. On the internet, look him up. I am also IM_DVDM. I really want to change it.
I was going to say, isn't it I? And then yes, you did say I am.
At IM _DVDM. I want to change it. But it's too late. It's kind of like it's there. It's too much to change. It's not a pun. It's like a middle schooler. And I was like, there's too many letters in my name.
That's it. Well,
there's just too many in my full name.
That's what Ari's Tacos came in from.
Yeah, I just started it at an age where it was like, wasn't clever like that. Well, quite a bit happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
In terms of gaming.
Well, it is E3, but yes. Before we get to that, I just want to say congrats to Austin James.
Who did meet his goal.
He exceeded his goal, and he did a awesome XSN Kickstarter live stream that was just great to watch, taking shots and drawing people. A lot of people suggested weird baby stuff, and so I kind of joined in on that.
And you indulged, and you made a request yourself. What was it?
I made a request for Godzilla fighting a giant baby.
And have you taken a picture of it yet?
I did not.
Austin, if you can put it up?
I will ask, but
okay.
It'll be there somewhere.
I'll ask for permission.
But he reached his goal.
That's great. So. That's fantastic news. He was going to do that, I'm sure, with or without Meltcast, but it's definitely nice for us to help people meet their goal when they're still very close.
Yes.
I think we should put that photo up, because the second that you told, or that picture up, that drawing, that art of his up, because the second you told me, I was like, instantly wanted to see what it looked like.
I also want another... because he was taking shots and doing sketches of people's suggestions, and I won the sketch before he started on my suggested sketch, which was like a Iron Giant baby and RoboCop eating a sandwich and another creature that I can't quite put my finger on, but
the offspring of both of those, Iron Giant baby and RoboCop.
I have no idea.
Eating a sandwich. Was it a very casual RoboCop eating a sandwich?
It looked like RoboCop eating a sandwich.
But it just makes me think of Avengers post-credits scene where they're all just kind of eating after a massive battle.
You could say that. Okay. Yeah.
You knew more about E3 than I, and we did kind of a crash course in what had happened, because I watched it like a compilation of all of the cringeworthy moments, because it's a very interesting, the hosts for the multitude of hosts, because there's so many different rooms that they cut in and out of. There was like technical difficulties that would happen, and so that some were kind of like, are we going to cut away at any point? What are we doing? We're waiting for the technical difficulties to get over with. There was one dude that just stared into the camera and waited till they cut away, and it's probably like 40 to 50 seconds of just him not folding.
I love watching that when it happens on the news.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny.
It is pretty cringy.
At what point do they
break? But no, this guy that I'm thinking of never broke. And they were just like, all right, we should probably just cut away at some point. So that was more of what I was indulging myself. But you mentioned that we get some VR pretty soon. What were the two games? I didn't hear more than two, I don't think.
First off, it's E3, big thing. It's been my dream for a long time to go since I was a wee boy. I've lived here all my life. Every year it's on the news.
Since you were a wee boy, that was 2 months ago?
Yes.
That you graduated from
Wee
Boy?
From Wee Boy, yeah. Now I'm just a boy. but yeah, it's always on the news, and I've always known it's like right there within my grasp, but so unattainable.
You just need to cozy up with Justin, CEO
Justin,
of XSN.
Man.
He went and he said on Facebook the obligatory "I'm at E3" photo.
Yeah,
like he was so pained, and he was there for business.
I have to go to this E3.
But what? So what were some of the impressive things that you saw?
Just being a bigger PlayStation guy than I am Xbox, I'll admit to like not knowing as much about what happened with Xbox. But
yeah.
PlayStation announced PlayStation VR, which is their VR headset, and they announced some cool exclusive games just for their VR. The first one that they kicked off was with, I think Resident Evil 7 is the number, which was horrifying looking. They said that it's first person, you can play the game like a regular game, but if you buy the VR, the whole game is VR. Is playable through the VR,
which is crazy, huge. So the regular version is first person.
Yeah, the game is the same either way, but one is far
because
more.
Because we've gotten
involved.
The third person over the shoulder view for a number of those, so now they're
That's a good. I'm assuming that the regular version is first person.
Oh,
I could
be
wrong.
Oh, okay.
But I would assume that they would just be the same game.
Yeah, because it would almost be like a completely... You'd have to reformat so much if you didn't. Well, great. I love Resident Evil games. Little more on the, 1 through 4 side than the other ones. 5 and 6, I didn't indulge, but I'm excited to see what 7 could bring. I wish they would go... I wish I could get... a happy medium of like Walking Dead / Dawn of the Dead and Resident Evil. I wish they would take more of that because at first I liked all the sometimes things would just sprout out of their hands or their heads and things like that. And that feels very Resident Evil. I'm sure that's why a lot of people like it. But there was Resident Evil 3 had... just more of a urban contained, just walkers coming at you feel that I would like them to kind of get back. Just the fear that I'm going to get bit by one of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Versus the I'm going to get
crazy
stabbed
monster
through the gut or something like that.
Oh, man. Those games are...
Resident Evil 4 I played over and over and over.
I never got to play it, but I wanted to play that one so bad.
It's so good. And so... now we're getting Resident Evil 7 to be celebrated. Hideo Kojima, did he announce that?
No,
he announced
Hideo Kojima is back with Sony.
He got a very warm reception.
Yeah, he did. I don't know the full details of his falling out, but after the last Metal Gear game, they separated and it was a whole thing. But now he's back with his new game, Death Stranding?
Yes, Death Stranding.
Death Stranding, which in that usual Hideo Kojima kind of way, it looks very strange, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
The trailer I watched, at least right before we started this podcast, very interesting trailer.
Yeah.
I've got Norman Reedus.
Naked.
Naked. Oh, yeah. That's something you realize right away.
Holding
He's
a baby.
Naked. Yeah. Questionably, tethered to the baby, too.
Yeah.
Because it had this weird umbilical, and he had no belly button, or had a belly button and was cut open and scarring happened over. But there's, a cross scar right where the belly button is. And there's this leading up to when you realize it's him, there's hands on the ground, and then hands all over him.
Yeah.
And then he's crying that a baby's next to him. Then the baby's gone suddenly, and then it's tiny hands walking away from him.
Mm. And these...
But I would presume that it's the baby's doing a handstand.
Yeah.
Why is it just hands?
I don't know.
There's no, like, dragging of knees.
Exactly.
There's no, I'm up on my tiptoes on all fours. It's just a, he goes from holding the baby to the baby doing handstands walking
invisible
away.
Invisible handstand.
Yes. And whether or not there was an adult presence before, because there was also an adult doing handstands on their way to Norman Reedus.
Man.
But the transfer of energy sent the baby doing handstands. And then when we pull out on the shot and widen, we see dead fish on a shoreline.
Yeah.
So questionably an environmental message, maybe. Because it seemed like there was a lot of oil, too. Instead of blood being on his hands, it looked like oil on his hands. And then five mysterious, I'm assuming, floating humanoid figures.
Yeah, that's what that looked like.
And it was, yeah, it made me feel like it was like Kingdom Hearts 2, and we were looking at like five members of the syndicate.
That was something, that's something that I was expecting to see. That
oh,
we
Kingdom
did
Hearts
not,
3?
3, yeah, nothing on that.
I think I'm just forever jaded. Not jaded, but just forever not holding my breath.
Yeah, I mean, they announced it at last year's E3 again,
yeah.
saying,
yeah.
oh, it's going to happen.
Which, but honestly, take your time. I don't care.
Sure.
Make it but fucking brilliant.
That being said,
yes,
another game that has been eternally delayed now has a release date that will hopefully not be delayed again. The Last Guardian from the same creators of Ico and Shadow of Colossus.
Yes.
Have been working on The Last Guardian for 7 years. 7 years they've been saying it's coming out. And now it's coming out October 25th, I believe.
Okay.
Is what they're saying.
This year.
Of this year.
Did they have anything to show for it?
They had gameplay
okay.
footage that, but I mean, I feel like they've always had gameplay footage. It's
yeah.
just a matter of finishing the goddamn game.
Does it look like a Shadows of Colossus and or Igo Eco?
Yes, and I have to admit, I was a little, I'm going to play the shit out of it when it comes out, but it looked like they hadn't updated the graphics. Like, I've seen the full potential of a PlayStation fucking 4 video
yeah.
game, and this did... It's a little more stylized, so I can see where that probably is, but it
yeah.
also looked like, ah, come on, you can push a little harder on this.
Yeah, it's really interesting now. I don't know how it's always been, I guess, because I've never had the thought to, like, compare it, but that if you have a 4K TV...
Mm.
You can see the difference, like,
yeah.
really, really well, which almost you can't even do with films. You can't do, you know what I mean, with other things. Sometimes you can, I guess. But, like, it's just interesting that a gaming console is what sort of unlocks, like,
yeah.
immediately the full potential of, like, a TV.
That's where the money's at.
Yeah, because we're not, like, we're forever going to, seemingly so, be able to develop TV screens faster than whatever could stream.
Mm.
Seemingly. Okay. So we have that. And then we talked briefly about the VR.
Yes. So Resident Evil 7.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what else they said would be VR, but the two big fucking, like, holy shit, okay, this seems worth the $400 cost of the PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
Maybe is Batman Arkham VR, where you will put on the cowl and be Batman. And I had assumed that it was just going to be like a DLC kind of level mission kind of thing, but from the video we watched over at Nerdist, mm-hmm. it's going to be a game.
Yeah.
Like a short game, but a game nonetheless, which is super cool.
Wouldn't it be cool if at some point down the road, they train you how to fight like Batman?
That's the other thing that they mentioned in this video is that you would be using PlayStation Move
yeah.
controllers,
mm-hmm.
which I I had assumed that it was going to be regular controller with the VR.
Yeah.
But it's so much, like, I can definitely see that happening if you're using the Move controllers, because now you get full body.
Can you just imagine if you're going through a training simulation, and let's just say it's as cool as you would imagine, which is it basically teaching you through levels how to, like, disarm people if they ever come at you this way. Which would be amazing. But imagine if, like, you're just at home in your household and, like, little brother or little sister is there and you just knock them out cold.
Yeah.
I foresee that being a compilation in the future YouTube section.
VR, this VR is incredible, I'm sure. The thing that I know that does take you out a little bit that I'm confused by on the PlayStation Move controller is the movement of your character, which reminded me of another PlayStation VR game, is we're getting a VR Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And from the trailer, it looked like you don't move. You aim at something and you teleport, and then you, like, you just teleport around opposed to walking around, which I didn't quite
That gets
like
around that. The, like, walking. Yeah. Yeah, because, man, I wonder if, you know, because you've seen that, like, walking in space, like, sort of circular, you can actually simulate
walking.
Oh, yes,
another
like
device
that.
That is...
That's probably going to be costly. But what if what if they did, like, a low-cost, like a...
Like a treadmill?
No, like a... Or, yeah, like a DDR or something like that. You know?
Yeah. Just, that could be it.
Bring back DDR. And we got a Star Wars VR as well.
Yes, yeah? We did. The thing that... Again, made me more excited about that was it's a, I believe it's one mission, and if you own Star Wars Battlefront on PlayStation 4, you buy PlayStation VR and the mission is free. Like, you don't pay anything other than the VR.
Yeah.
Or $100, again. But it's free.
Cool.
When it comes out in October, and it's an X-Wing mission, and so, like, the trailer to this was, I forgot the name of the ship. I know it's something Runner. At the beginning of A New Hope that Princess Leia's on.
Oh, yeah, like the Rebel Runner?
Yeah. You're in the X-Wing and you can see it. Like, you're flying underneath it and you look up at it and then you kind of turn away and you see some X-Wing. Not X-Wing, god damn it. TIE fighters in the distance. I don't know. It's very exciting. But again, I know I'm going to have to hold that controller. But
yeah.
Still, to be able to look around and be in that space.
Do you know if the headset is wireless? Have you seen?
I believe so.
Okay. Because I don't know if it was just the setup that I was using, but there's a really cool space known as Dronebox Labs that I record out of for my web series that I do. And one of the brothers that owns the space, he has a VR setup that's tethered. That has it's the HTC Vive, and it's really impressive. It's what they had here for our Dungeons and Dragons event that we just threw, the big party, D&D party. And that has like a tether in the back, sort of like being jacked into the Matrix.
That's
and,
exactly what it, that and Weapon X.
Yeah. Like, that's, yeah. And I feel like as long as the tether is there, it's going to feel just really weird.
Like a weight kind of pulling on the back.
Yeah, and you really can't like spin around quickly or do.
I'm assuming that there isn't just because the controllers aren't tethered.
Yeah.
But I mean, I haven't seen a picture of somebody wearing PlayStation VR yet.
Okay. So excited. Yeah, that was probably. I always keep kind of like a periphery, like ear to the ground for. Gaming because I'm just much more into like watching film or reading. In this venture in my life, even though I still am playing the shit out of my Walking Dead app game, still playing that gratuitously, like too much. But yeah, this was an exciting year to sort of make me be like, well, could I get back into gaming?
Oh, well, that,
could I get a PS4 finally?
They did announce, it wasn't at E3, they announced it beforehand, that there would I think I... it's called like the PlayStation 4S.
Yeah.
And the Xbox One S or one of the... Yeah. Xbox One is definitely S. The PlayStation is another one.
Yeah.
But just slimmer, slightly faster versions. Yeah. Of...
Was there a price drop? Do you know?
I know there was, but I don't... I will
on the,
try and look
on
this
the
up.
Older ones.
Oh, probably. I don't know.
Probably. If the newer ones
I'd assume
are
so.
Just
are
being
on their
announced.
Way?
Yeah. Cool. Well, what else about the Star Wars? It was just like an unlockable mission?
Free mission. Star Wars movie rumors, I've heard.
Yeah. We haven't talked about some of the ones for like Rogue One.
The rumor that I haven't looked much more into it than the one article that broke my heart a little bit was that they're doing reshoots for Rogue One with a different director.
Oof. Then Ryan Johnson?
Then
Ryan Johnson.
Gareth
doing,
Edwards.
Yeah, Gareth Edwards. That's right.
The rumor being is that the movie's too
Gareth
dark
Edwards.
For them, which is
too dark.
I was like, what?
Really? Because I would have thought that's exactly what they were.
That's
promising.
What we'd want.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and that I don't think it happened anytime recently, but just that and the fact that he's not doing the next Godzilla is a little heartbreaking.
Yeah, because he, you know, he's, I think he's talented. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, I don't know what it is. Maybe the suits just get twitchy about his stuff. Yeah. But I I saw upwards of like 50%. Of what they've already shot would need to be reshot. Which, so that's for Rogue One.
Mm-hmm. Which
that's
comes out
That's coming
this year.
Out. Yeah, this year. I wonder if they'll go for the March. I wonder if they'll pull a Batman vs. Superman and go March instead of commit to December. Who knows? But I do know that there's some other Star Wars stuff in our future. So go ahead and discuss.
My first pick of the week is Star Wars Han Solo number 1. I've said it before on the podcast, and I'm not super into the current run of the comics. I'm not that I think that they're not great, because I hear that they're great. I've just, I don't know, none of them have quite attracted me as much as this one did, where it was more like, okay, I kind of have to read this.
Yeah.
I've got the tattoo. I had to read it. And it's true to Han Solo.
Yeah.
So far. It's one issue. But
they wrote him well.
They did. They wrote him well, yeah.
He's one of the ones that you, I don't know, all of, I mean, except for Chewbacca, you have to get the, like, dialogue right.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are also times where, like, there was one time in here that I, reading this, that I can remember, where they'll, like, say something that they said in one of the movies, and that's like, well, yeah, you got the dialogue right, but I mean, all right, you didn't have to fucking, have to throw me that.
Yeah. They were definitely setting up for another Han and Leia kiss moment.
Yes, and then...
Because she comes to him, I guess she doesn't directly come to him at first, and say, we need to recruit your ship, but not recruit you.
Yeah, we just need your ship. Can we borrow your ship?
And she sends two people that I'm presuming basically were going to be the ones to commandeer the ship. And, but they don't really show it. It could have very well been her intention from the beginning to pique his interest and make him go. And he wasn't going to say sure if she asked. So instead say, we need your ship, but we don't need you. Mm-hmm. Kind of a blow to the ego to get him to commit to this. Because there is a part of the mission that he's going to be on. He doesn't even necessarily know. It's just that he needs to do a series of pickups, right?
Yes. So
under the guise of a...
Of a race.
Yes,
a
big very space big spectacle.
Race. Yeah. Leia tells Han that they've got their little moles in the Empire, but that they also have a mole, so they need somebody outside of the rebellion to do this big, extreme, expensive, giant race where they make three stops on a planet, and on each planet he has to pick up information from their moles in the Empire.
Yeah. So, it is... I thought it was a really engaging premise with this concept of the race. And we get a sort of... What's funny is this feels like... This feels a little bit like the excitement that was around pod racing. But everyone likes to, like, turn their nose up at the concept of pod racing.
It's no secret that I love pod racing.
Yeah. Pod racing's great. Love the video game. Love the N64 video
game. Yeah.
Boss Nass, I think, was my favorite. He was really good. He had top speed that was, like, insane.
Boston.
I don't think he had the best handling, but I was pretty good handling.
I forgot his name, but he kind of looked like a gorilla.
Okay.
His pod racer was green. Shit, I don't remember his name.
It's okay. But we'll be able to look it up later. but yeah, so then where the issue leaves off for issue number one of Han Solo, after they come out of Lightspeed,
is some kind of attack.
Yeah, that we don't know about. Yeah. But they were attacking the racers he was racing against. Which, it was funny because I was sort of like, before I turned the pages and saw how they did it, I was like, wouldn't that be just cheating doing Lightspeed?
Yeah.
Or not cheating, but just like a boring race if it's just...
Looking Lightspeed
who
the fastest.
Who has the best Lightspeed engine, best warp drive.
Yeah.
Because I have to imagine that, like, a portion of the race would be, like, light speed up until this asteroid point where it's, like, impossible to...
To maneuver.
Yeah, it's a light speed through. So then you would have to maneuver through. That sounds more exciting to me. But, yes, I would agree with you that some of the Star Wars titles have not really grabbed my attention or feel necessarily all that needed. But this is definitely one that I was engaged by. And I wonder if it was just because they were like, let's wait on Han Solo after Force Awakens. Let's see.
And then I'm also not entirely clear on when this is occurring. Because it's definitely after A New Hope, but I'm not sure where it is with the other two movies.
I think...
I mean, it's definitely not after...
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, because there's still an Empire...
Yes.
You know, I'm also... Wait, are they...
Well, they have the circular dish still.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, so that and also... Definitely has to be. On Hoth. So, I don't know.
It sure seems like it's after A New Hope.
Yeah. Definitely.
But yeah, I want to see... I would like this book to turn into, like, filling me in on all that went wrong with Ben/Kylo Ren.
Ben! I'm sure we'll get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming.
So, that was your first pick of the week. My first pick of the week was The Dark Knight Returns, The Last Crusade. And this is essentially a prequel to The Dark Knight Returns. It is a prequel. It's set in that world. And yet, it manages to tie itself into another famous Bat book, which is Death in the Family. And I don't think that's too spoilery, because once you realize the territory they're going to, the conclusion isn't really surprising.
Wait, who wrote A Death in the Family? It wasn't Frank Miller, was it?
No, it wasn't. So that's why it's like, it's interesting to see the same aesthetic... And borrow that plot point.
Yeah, it's interesting that he would go to somebody else's work when he seems to usually just stay contained in his.
Yes, or it wouldn't necessarily have to be his decision to do that.
That's true.
But make an understanding, you know, see it through his lens, just like them give that plot. Them say early on, like, hey, we want it to connect to Red Hood. So, if you remember Dark Knight Returns from the very beginning, he's an older man. So, this is taking it back to when he's not a young man, but he's maybe at the first point in his life where he thinks, like, can I do this forever? Like, what should I be training somebody to, like, take over in my stead?
He's starting to feel old.
Yeah, it's starting to be that way. And what's interesting is I think, I don't know if, like, this is what this, the conclusion of this book is what brings the, like, grizzled nature out into later what would become Dark Knight Returns, and the just very cynical, like, just tough, like, Clint Eastwood-like Batman. But this is, like, a much more conflicted Batman, because what he's starting to see is that he has been training Jason to just be very cruel and very, and like, whatever you need to do to get the job done, do it, because you're a small boy fighting crime with me. And in classic Miller Batverse fashion, we have the pundits, the news media, weighing in, saying, you know, is this child endangerment what Batman's doing, having a sidekick? And I love the art. I love the storytelling, which this is Romita Jr. doing the majority of the art, and I'm sure Miller jumped in.
Did he?
Yeah, well,
because
yeah, he's doing the story with Brian Azzarello, and then the pencils are by John Romita Jr. He also did the cover. And then the Frank Miller did the variant covers, along with Jim Lee teaming up with Alex Sinclair, and then Lee Bermejo and Bill Sienkiewicz, who we've had in the store. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just to be honest, I loved this book, and it's like contained; it's its own thing. I could see them easily putting out maybe another one that's also like its own contained thing. But I enjoyed this more than I have enjoyed The Dark Knight 3, and I've been enjoying The Dark Knight 3. So
that's good to hear. Yeah. I was a little skeptical of it.
No, it's really good. It's like, it is in a way kind of a slow burn, but it almost promises that in a way. It's thick compared to regular issues, but it's, you know,
it's not even an issue. It's a very small trade.
Yeah, it's a skinny trade, basically. And I just liked seeing that wear on Batman, how brutal the teachings he gave to Jason were, and him start to regret that and think the damage is done. I'm at a point of no return. I can't tell him to relent more. And then right when he starts to get a little stern, more stern than he's ever been, in terms of like, I need you to listen to me and stop being, you know, headstrong about it. That's the same night that Robin decides that he's going to go try and take on the Joker himself. The Joker's very... He's, like, so passive in this. He's not involved. He narrates every once in a while, but he just sits back, and he doesn't even really... The way that they depicted the moment between him and Jason is he's sitting back while his own cronies do the dirty work. So it's really good. Check it out. Really good tone, good writing, and an interesting blend of plot points and aesthetics that we've seen but never quite together. Next pick of the week.
That's Gareth Edwards.
There we go.
He's the tie. My other pick is it's a reprinting of some older stuff, but it's the Godzilla Treasury Edition.
Ooh.
Oh my god. It's
a book made for Aristotle.
It is, because it's James Stakoe's Godzilla work in a book that is, I want to say that's 2-3 inches larger than a normal issue.
Yeah. Just enhanced by, like, 1.75.
It's a much larger comic that reprints Godzilla, Half-Century War, some of his, like, tryout pages, sample pages, and then Godzilla in Hell No. 1. But the main thing here is that it's a much larger printing, so you get to see like the full goddamn detail of this goddamn magician.
This is a happy man in front of me right now.
Like, I feel like everybody loves, you gotta love Stucco.
Yeah.
Because he's a goddamn magician.
He grabs your attention straight away. My question with this is, because it's still really sharp detail, and I wouldn't say anything's lost, but I'm curious.
Do you think it's just like a blown up version of what it was?
No. I was actually going to argue, do you think he does artwork this size and then they shrink it down?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes the hyper detail.
Like CRISPR? I think he has to draw on large paper,
yeah.
But I mean, that's still like I'm opened up to one of these fucking massive, insanely detailed pages.
Yeah.
It's 2 pages.
Because I wouldn't say any quality is lost.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, and another thing is I don't know enough about his art process to know if what he does digital and what he doesn't do. I would assume colors digital.
I believe colors are digital, but it's not. It's more of a look at his art more than like an introduction to the Godzilla books.
Yeah,
it's just like, hey, we know you love this guy.
Yeah,
here's a bigger version.
Here's
of
a his size
art.
To actually appreciate it even more.
Yeah, you can't afford to buy his pages. Here's a bigger version.
A book of the pages.
He's got his pages online. And I look at them every so often, and I think, God damn.
Do you have a Mondo poster with him? They made one, right, of Stucco?
Not that
no?
I know.
For Godzilla? Really? Oh, I thought they had. Then there was, maybe there just was a, I swear I remember you talking about a Mondo Godzilla poster that you wanted.
They have a few Godzilla posters, but I don't know if they've ever done a Stucco one.
Because anytime Mondo's brought up, around me, it's usually by you, and it's usually you saying, I want this.
I mean, I still love their stuff, but I've cut down a little.
Yeah.
I
imagine you,
so
do you have any wall space?
Oh, I have lots of wall space because I can't afford to buy frames. Like, all the money is in the art, so I've just got these boxes and, like, small stacks of art.
Yeah.
With no frames.
I know that there was somebody that came in that did, XSN segment actually set up like just in the store talking about their product, which is frameless, and it's meant to hang comic books with no frame. It's basically like a slip cover that has an attachment so that it can go on the wall and stay securely
on
the wall.
Does it still have like, I guess, does it look like it's a comic book hanging on your wall, or is there like a border around it?
There's nothing ornate, but it's not like a hard case sticking out of the wall. It's meant to kind of very flatly hang on the wall. So, so check them out. They're called Frameless. If you need to hang any of those, I wonder if they would do poster sizes because that would be really great.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so that's Godzilla. I had a number of other picks since we did one DC title with Dark Knight Returns, The Last Crusade. I'll talk about the other ones that came out for this Rebirth Renaissance very quickly that I enjoyed. We were talking about one Robin being trained by Batman in Dark Knight Returns, Last Crusade. There's also another Robin that is being trained in Justice League number 51. Now, if you are like a number of people who ask me what's going on in terms of continuity, if you're wondering what a Superman would be doing in Justice League 51, knowing that Earth Zero Superman has died, I wondered the same thing of why he's still in here. I think this is, my guess is they're going to 52 and going to be done, but they're, this Superman has is probably just been informed. So I think this is still taking place before the events of Darkseid War. But this is Robin of the New 52, Red Robin, being prepared to take on role within the Justice League. And because the Justice League has never been introduced to Robin before, they know of Nightwing from Forever Evil, because Nightwing was on the chopping block. Batman's basically saying, I'm training him to basically take my place within the Justice League, because I don't know what Batman's thinking. He probably has to go, like, hunt down who is leaving the, you know, who from his end, because we obviously know who's leaving the comedian's button in the Batcave. So Robin, they're wondering what he's going to bring to the fold, and Batman, or Flash and Green Lantern say, well, you should probably do this, you should do that, and then they're like, what do you think we should do? And Robin assesses in a very, like, detective manner, like, well, we have three smoking guns, basically, and we need to do this, 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 and this, and they're like, holy crap, and they get, like, right on it. So that was pretty cool to see. He was nervous about being in the Justice League, pretty much earns his spot.
Right away.
And then is like, oh my gosh, that was such an adventure. And then Green Lantern's like, that was just Tuesday. We will be seeing much more this week. So that was a really, really fun book. Still love the art. Geoff Johns is not the writer. That was Abnett. Yeah, it's still a really good book and feels very much a part of the new 52 Justice League canon. Green Lanterns came out issue number one, and this is setting up for what will be a very Red Lanterns heavy
real quick
sort of nemesis. Yes.
Is this a one shot or is this ongoing?
One shot's happened previously.
Yeah,
now this will become the ongoing.
I was here the other day and somebody was asking about that and I wasn't sure, and Holly was also, she knew, but it was difficult to explain that, like, there was the one shot Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
And now there's number one Green Lanterns that is ongoing.
A part of the rebirth. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, there was a number of them that got their one shot, and now they're going to be taking off. So Green Lanterns I enjoyed. There was, they're setting up for the Red Lanterns to be a very big presence. And also, yet again, there is a mysterious figure that's watching, that's referring to the Justice League, actually, as the Bright Ones, and knowing that they all had the power of gods at one point, and we might be setting up for another scenario that is similar to Blackest Night, in that all of the lanterns are probably going to have to gear up. There's that weird moment where Simon Baz all of a sudden sees things that he's not sure if he's seeing the future or if he's seeing some false future, because the Red Lanterns have this weird, like, thing where they think they either think they're seeing into the future, or there's, like, these premonitions of, like, what could happen. And Simon goes through that himself. There's a shot of him bleeding on the ground. There's a shot of what looks like one of the basically makers of rings saying, it's the most powerful ring I've ever created. There's this, like, hellish looking beast that's just eyes and teeth. His brother is shown to be having a Red Lantern ring, and Jessica Cruz is screaming that she needs help. And when you turn the page, it's actually her saying she needs help from, like, this almost crossed level of just people in a grocery store with glowing red eyes coming.
I wouldn't say cross level. Just,
well, yeah, because there's no gore and there's no naked people having sex with dead bodies. just a very, like, oh, this is a civilian place of a supermarket. Now everyone looks just pissed and like they are possessed, and they're all coming after Jessica Cruz. I guess the thing that they're promising that's like Blackest Night, it's called Red Dawn, is what Atrocitus is basically promising. So keep an eye out for that. Those are the other DC titles that I really felt like talking about.
Nice.
We talked about Han Solo. That was my other one.
Han Solo.
And then just to let you know that Klaus, written by Mr. Grant Morrison, is still going strong. That came out this week. It's the 6th issue of 7, so we're coming up on the very last issue. But this issue of this week was very interesting in that we're getting into almost this level of what started out as just Santa Begins and showing him as this like medieval trying to bring happiness to the children has now, in classic what I would assume Grant Morrison would do fashion, the evil coal bringer, basically, the evil medieval knight, summons a demon that looks a lot like Krampus.
Yes.
So we're going to see Santa and Krampus going at it, I think, in the next issue. But it was very interesting to see that. And before we'd had, Santa has always had his brown beard and his brown hair. And there's something that happens where his white, almost direwolf, basically looks like Ghost from Game of Thrones, finds him when he's been tied down to ice out in the on the water, and the hound howls. And if you remember, we've talked about there are these alien ghosts that are summoned anytime he plays music or smokes peyote from his pipe, basically. the aliens show up and they're saying, we need to make you better. And there's a panel that's going vertically downward, shows his heart basically get small and icy. So I don't know what that means in terms of what's happening to him, but
his character.
Yeah. Then there's this again, it's Grant Morrison. You have to remember this. After that, they basically kind of ascend down on him, and he's seeing all these geometric shapes, and these three stones, X, P, and S, seem to be on the stones, are being placed, two at his, where his shoulders are, and then one has, a third eye, and he's screaming, and he just kind of, fades into white.
You know what this kind of reminds me of?
What's that?
Those geometric shapes is the ending of Hellboy in that last issue.
Oh, yeah?
When he goes into the house and there's just those three shapes in the distance. No, well, just floating around saying, no, he's the one. Get out of here. Stop.
Mm.
Maybe there's some symbolism here that we are not familiar with.
I think there's always symbolism in comics.
Yeah.
That it's just
But a very specific
choice.
Kind of well-known, I assume.
Yeah.
People know what these three things are, but aren't widely known.
Yeah. I think there's plenty of threads that week to week make me feel like I'm purposely seeing imagery like this. Yeah.
Especially in a Grant Morrison book.
Yeah. So I think everything on at least his end was deliberate. And so we're going to be coming up on the conclusion there. Speaking of conclusions, any concluding thoughts that you have, Mr. Aristotle, before we close?
This podcast I've been working on for a while now with Dave Baker is now out on iTunes. It is called It's Pronounced Zine, spelled Z-I-N-E. Just a dumb joke, but the word is zine. And the podcast is called It's Pronounced Zine. It's hosted by Dave Baker. We put the first three episodes out now, so you can go and listen. Austin James, who was on last week, is the first episode of this podcast. So check out.
It makes sense to me that It's Pronounced Zine is the name of the podcast that Dave is hosting. I think he is a beacon of truth whenever it comes to what he feels like needs to be known. Yeah. So that makes perfect sense that would be the title of the podcast. Well, awesome. We'll give a listen there Anything else?
Well, just a side thing that Kanye West has a zine called It's Pronounced Zine. This were like two different things that we like kind of found. Like we called the podcast that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, he has a... That could either help or damage. Like we copied
him. You're riding
him, or,
on Kanye's coattails?
I mean, it's not going to hurt us, but it does seem like that now. We came up the name independent of knowing that.
And then found out.
Yeah.
Okay. When you get sued...
He can't sue us over a zine.
You can crash on my couch.
We'll see if he...
He's desperate for money. He's going to sue you.
We'll see.
Well, great. I will listen for as long as it is on the air before it gets shut down, because Kanye's people will be coming after you.
Come at me with those fish dicks.
Other than that, I have nothing else to say other than read comics, play games, and stay classy. Thank you again for tuning in to Meltcast 3.0, and we will talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for picking us up. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at Meltcast. We occasionally tweet some things. And while you're at it, follow at Meltdown Comics. They're awesome, and you can keep up with all of their sales and events that happen every day.